Hello and welcome to Autosave. My name is Nick Andrade and I'm here with my co-host Camille Salazar Hadaway. And on this episode of Autosave, we close out our journey into Gotham Knights. This is episode 9. We did the main story and now we head into some side quests and some villain side quests. But if you need a refresher on last week's episode where we finished the main story, this is how it ended.
The Court of Owls is still among us. They still think Gotham City is theirs to rule. But now we're the ones watching. They can no longer lurk in the shadows. They will face the night.
So we took care of Talia, kind of, because she escaped. Bruce came back to life and blew himself up for a second time. Again, I implore you, if you haven't listened to the last episode, to go back and listen to us talk about Batman dying twice in the game.
In the same exact way.
Yes, in the exact same way. And guess what? The Gotham Knights are finally taking the reins on protecting Gotham to the fullest. Mm-hmm. And I guess it ended with whoever you're playing as being the main protagonist at the end, saying that Gotham is theirs now. It's their city now, as Bruce loved to say in this game.
Yeah, that's kind of like a villainous thing to say. You can't own the city. You can't own the people in the city.
No, come on.
The Bat family is just crime lords at the heart of it.
They are. Honestly, in this game, wouldn't be surprised if they turn into that. For our full thoughts and final review of this game, check out our Patreon exclusive episode with Chris Zeitzer, who plays our gameplay. We're going to do that after this episode and kind of break down everything that we maybe liked or didn't like about this game. I think we have a lot to say on our final thoughts, so it's going to be an interesting episode. But, Cam, deep breath. We're a week removed from this ending of the game. How do you feel?
You know what? I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders. But I think it's because we no longer have to save Gotham. Like, when I look back at it, it's kind of... There's a lot of villains. It's stressful. And now we're getting into even more villains.
Yes, we are. And this is the main part of this episode is villains, villains, villains. We're going to go through Mr. Freeze, Harley Quinn, and Clayface. Those are our three side missions. And since we're very heavy villain today, Cam, this is our question of the day. Who do you think is the most righteous villain in the Batman universe? Someone that A, you might sympathize with, or B, you think that they might have a point with what they're doing?
Ooh, I mean, Mr. Freeze. The story is so... Nick almost like spat out his water.
I did, yeah. I wasn't expecting Mr. Freeze. I wasn't expecting it.
Isn't it sad? I remember watching the animated series, Mr. Freeze episode, and like, oh, it's so sad.
So basically, everything he's doing is to save his wife, who is in a cryogenic, I guess, sleep. But the problem is he gets crazier and crazier where he doesn't even really know that line of like what he's doing it for.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't even know. Oh, my gosh. I just had a revelation.
Yes.
Have you ever watched Adventure Time? It's okay if you haven't. I'll explain it.
I have watched it, but I can tell you an episode.
So, you know, the Ice King is pretty much Mr. Freeze.
Is his wife said the same thing?
Well, the thing is, like, he puts on this crown and then he keeps going crazy. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to protect his adopted daughter, Marceline, in the process. But he doesn't even recognize her in the end. So, like, does it matter? Just random side thought. But yeah, if you're a fan of Adventure Time, they are the same person. But I mean, it is like his demise comes from his intense love. It's kind of sweet. Or maybe I'm just a hopeless romantic.
You're okay with someone murdering a bunch of people?
Hey, if they're doing it for me and not getting me involved, then that's fine. They'll be going to jail, not me. And I'll just be like, you know, I'll visit sometimes. Not on holidays because, you know, got holiday things to do. But I'd be there outside of that.
Your hopeless romanticism really goes deep, eh? Wow.
Goes very deep.
You're ride or die.
How about you?
I think the main one here is Poison Ivy, right? She thinks humans are bad. She thinks humans are bad and they're destroying the planet. And she's just trying to protect plant life and nature.
Yes.
And yes, she goes to extreme as well. Also, you can't be like, eh, when you're literally like, I would let someone murder people for me if it meant anything for love.
No. Well, look here, okay? Poison Ivy is doing this. She is fully aware of what she's doing. Like, there is no, I guess she is kind of going crazy. I mean, all of them are.
They all kind of, I guess.
It's just when you pick that life of crime, you know, you're bound to go crazy. But I just don't empathize with her too much. I don't know what it is. I love the environment. I was just about to say I recycle. Oh my gosh. No, I try to do more than that. I try to be very conscious. And I do agree with her point. We are ruining this planet. However, there's something about Poison Ivy that just makes me feel like I think she's having just a little bit more fun with it.
Heads up to people, if you have a pizza box and there's grease on it, that goes in the organics. It goes in organics. Yes. It can be, it's biodegradable. So you can, don't throw it in the recycling because they can't get rid of the grease. You got to throw it in that.
That kind of goes for all food. Anything that has like containers, food containers that have food residue on it, you can't put that in the recycling.
Yes. Coffee cups go in the trash because they have wax. They cannot be recycled. However, the lids, and if you have the, you know, cardboard sleeve, those can go in recycling. So those are things I've learned along the way that I'm going to practice and preach. So Poison Ivy, don't kill me. Two-Face is one other one where someone brought up to me the intense morality of Two-Face, which is it is extreme bad, but also extreme good.
I mean, yeah, extreme bad and extreme good. And I guess with Two-Face as well, like he doesn't want to put the choice. You could look at it as like he doesn't want to do bad.
He leaves it to chance. So he doesn't
put the choice in his hand. He leaves it to chance, which could be seen as like destiny, right? So he's really not trying to mess with that and like, you know, not influence it. And then I guess, well, yeah, I guess so. I'm going to leave it at that for Two-Face. Two-Face is okay. But Harley is crazy. If anyone picked Harley for this.
No. No. Ra's al Ghul is the last one in the League of Shadows, which we've touched on a little bit in these episodes. But again, it's League of Shadows. They try to stop corruption when it gets too crazy.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing sometimes, you know? Sometimes you need a little bit of that, you know, when you got, you know, crazy billionaires in their secret society Court of Owls planning a bunch of corruption stuff, you know? You gotta.
Yep.
So I don't blame them. Again, though, a lot of these people go a little bit too far with what they're trying to do.
Man, I kind of blame him. Like, if you're trying to control people, like, to that, like, you could try to bring change.
Yes.
Right? Like, Mr. Freeze doesn't try to bring change. He has a very specific mission for his love. It's like any rom-com out there. You know, I'm pretty sure there's some hilarity in there. Imagine if like the 90s Batman with Mr. Freeze. I forgot. What was the name of that one? Was it Batman and Robin?
Batman and Robin was Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine if there was like a rom-com element to it, like Arnold, you know, like, but it's sold as a rom-com. I would watch it. But
I was watching a few clips of that movie near Halloween because I dressed up as Mr. Freeze. So trying to get, you know, some character development here and, you know, look into my character. But he has not a sidekick, but there's a lady there. Vivica A. Fox played this and she has a crush on Mr. Freeze.
I forgot about that.
But he doesn't want to do anything with it. So again, there could be a love triangle romantic comedy there that could have happened and taken place.
She acknowledges what he would do for love and she appreciates that. You know what? And I appreciate that.
There you go. So Cam has a crush on Mr. Freeze. But guess what? We're going to be dealing with said Freeze after the break here on Autosave. So we start off our villain trifecta with Mr. Mm-hmm. Freeze, and something is rumbling at Star Lab, so we need to go check it out. And there are some scientists in trouble, and we need to rescue them. Basically, we don't know who's doing this until we see security camera footage of Mr. Freeze. So we know that that is who we're dealing with. And right off the bat, we have to take up some goons, face off with some new drone enemies. That this is where you kind of first face these drone enemies, where you don't see them before early in the game if you play this mission. But until you get rid of them, then you get to see the giant popsicle himself.
I knew one of his proteges would come eventually.
Bad news, Freeze. Your goons won't be getting that Star Labs data they were after.
Whatever my associates are after is their business. I have what I came for.
What is this about, then? What could be worth killing all these people for?
My time is valuable. I will not waste any more of it talking to you!
He doesn't want to kill anyone. He just said it right there. How can you not love that? How can you not love that?
Well, he says that, but then he killed a scientist right away.
But what did the scientist do to him, right? You got to think about these things.
He was just trying to escape. He was banging on the window.
Was he?
Semantics?
Or was he trying to foil? He was trying to foil my plans. That's what I... See, now I'm thinking I'm Mr. Freeze. Okay, I need to stop. You're right. I need to stop this Mr. Freeze obsession. I think I'm growing.
Yeah, this is your villain arc right here. I don't know where this is leading.
Jeez. Oh my gosh, pretty much like my villain arc is the same as Harley Quinn. It's through love that I turn into a villain.
So Freeze is trying to steal some cryogel canisters. And I have to applaud him here, you know, because, well, first of all, I have to say, listening to that clip, like, it really reminded me of CW again. Like, it is like Batgirl's talking. She's just like, yeah, Freeze, you better stop it right now. The dialogue is questionable, but I have to applaud Mr. Freeze here because he says, I'm not going to tell you about my plans here. And what's the cliche always that we see in every villain? They always explain their plans to the protagonist and it's always to, you know, their demise. And this time Mr. Freeze is like, well, I'm not talking to you. Peace out. Good for him.
Yeah. Peace. Well, and you know what? Breaking the mold.
Exactly.
Yeah. He walks on the beat of his own drum. I love it.
There you go. Cam is
another
falling
reason
in love,
to love him
more.
I am.
And more. And more.
By the end of this episode, I'm going to try to marry him.
But in this mission here, we basically have to save the scientist from dying in this room. And by doing that, we take a bunch of enemies out and then use a giant rail gun or some sort of beam of light, whatever it is, this experiment thing, to open a little area for them to escape. Once we do that...
It was Batman, right? We spoke earlier. Thank God you came when you did.
We got your call.
He took all of our cryo gel. It's enough to drain the thermal energy from Gotham 3 times over.
And freeze the whole city. Let us worry about Freeze. Just stay here until the GCPD arrives and tell them what happened.
I will. Again, thank you.
I didn't notice this character's voice, but the way she talks, like, and Mr. Freeze is...
She's exhausted, okay? She's been traumatized, and it's freezing in there.
We find out what Freeze's plan is, Cam, and what he wants to do is freeze the entire city.
I mean, it makes sense to me. He could pretty much say anything at this point and be like, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, yeah, it's not really realistic. But I think all Gotham villains always have like this huge dream. Well, all villains, actually. It's not just Gotham villains. It's just all villains always go big or they go home.
But it's funny to me is he wants basically everyone to feel how he feels. But if he turns the city, you know, freezing cold, he's only going to feel what he feels inside his cryo suit. Or does that mean he can get out of his cryo suit if it's as cold as he needs it to be? Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean. Yeah, I never thought about that. Maybe he just wants, maybe he wants to walk around freely without the cryo suit.
That's true. So, you know, I guess it's not the worst intentions in the world. He's just trying to, you know, be like any other human. He just wants to kill a bunch of other people. It's fine. Yeah,
he's just trying to escape the bounds of life.
That's it.
Yeah. You know, we have high interest rates and, you know, economy keeping inflation. Us down. Mr. Freeze has this cryo suit. Yeah, inflation.
You know what, though? The Gotham Knights, they can afford all of those things. We get a cutscene with Jason basically practicing his moves with Dick while he talks angrily about Freeze. And then Barbara says, hey, guys, he might be changing the weather and this is not good. So we have to find out how he's doing this and have to find out more information. So on 1.2 of this mission, we just have to go after Freeze's cronies to find more information, something we've done regularly in this game. That leads into 1.3, where we head to the Quartz Labs, where they are doing some cryogenic experiments. And here we have to defeat a bunch of regulators, have to scan for clues, take out some enemies, and then we investigate this doctor, Dr. Upshot's office, and we find a disruptor that can maybe help us with what Freeze is trying to do. But of course, we head back to the Belfry.
Is there something in the weather report about an ice age?
Be advised, extreme weather events in progress.
Temperatures have fallen 60 degrees in just minutes. An extreme cold front?
Weather doesn't do that. Not without some help.
Freeze.
Freeze can make weather now?
Freeze can make weather now.
The storm is localized around Elliott Center. We need to get there now.
This is the DC Marvel crossover we wanted, Mr. Freeze becoming Storm.
Ooh, that's a good point. However, I have to say, like, why were they all surprised that he's changing the weather? Because the lady in the first mission literally told us that that was his plan. And they're like, whoa, why is there an extreme cold front? Freeze must have something to do with. He's trying to change the whole weather? What do you mean? You that's what we were trying to do this whole time.
I mean, it is classic Gotham Knights, CW. So I watched a lot of CW series. I kind of look past the dialogue sometimes.
Smart choice.
Just look past, Nick.
I will, as we move on to the LA Center. That's in 1.4. It's completely frozen up, this building. We have to journey up to the top, fight some guards and stuff along the way. Once we do, we use our disruptor, I guess, to try and stop Freeze. And that is when he shows up. So you know what that means. It's boss fight time. Cam, what did you think of this Mr. Freeze boss fight on top of the Elliott Center?
Firstly, the Elliott Center looks so cool. Like I was like, oh, this is fun. Because like you have all the beams you need to climb. Like you could jump over because it's all frozen, so you can't like grapple up it when you're like taking out the guys out back. And then we never really talked about Mr. Freeze's design. I just want to say it's cool. I really like how they made him look. But again, like the boss fight at this point, it was okay. Like it wasn't too difficult. I will say like the big guys though, they are annoying. Just having a lot of them around is annoying.
There's a bunch of mechanics you have to deal with. Like he uses his giant freeze gun that you have to avoid, some missiles as well. Just your regular kind of avoidance. However, like there's a tier system in all these boss fights where this boss fight is relatively easy at the time of you playing it, depending on when you play it. Like for me, I ended up playing all these side missions after I beat the main story. So these first few missions for a bunch of them, their skill level, I think, is like level 6 to 9 or something like that.
Yeah.
So this fight for me was relatively easy because the skill level hasn't really adapted to my level at that point. So Freeze was relatively easy to fight.
Yeah, he didn't really prove difficult. Again, it's like that whole dodging element that I feel like is a common theme for a lot of these boss battles. Even if you're doing this battle, I think earlier on, I think you shouldn't have too much of a difficult time. It would just be more dodging. But because he takes like some time to charge up the railgun, it's really not as like quick as, for example, with Talia and her arrows.
Yeah, there's like a lot of mechanic. Like you can start to get the rhythm of his move set pretty easy in this fight.
This does look really cool, like with the lightning and everything like that. I think this is one of the coolest looking like boss battle arenas in the whole game.
Once you defeat Freeze and let the Disruptor do its job.
I warned you, Freeze.
System overload. Cryogel cycling offline. Hard reset required.
A reset button. This feels like a bad idea. Okay, okay.
System reset successful. Cryogel cycling online.
Freeze? You still with us?
You should have let me die. It would have been so much easier for you.
And look at that. Mr. Freeze, we defeat him, and that is it for Freeze's story. JK, it's still going. I thought it was over, but this was not the end of it.
No. No, they were like, let's just lift this guy up like he's just some animal and have him dangling from a helicopter. I will say, though, if you look closely in this scene, this is an area where I think in the game, like, they just put like a really small detail that I appreciate for this whole mission. If you are playing as any of the characters, you'll see that around their nose and mouth and ears is actually red because it's cold.
I love that detail.
Appreciate it.
They had more of that detail around the whole most of the game, which is great. That's saying there's some hits and misses in this game, and they do some things relatively right. And to have that small detail is actually important to me. So I'm happy they did that. You're like grinning. Yeah. You're grinning sarcastically on our Discord as we're talking. I don't know what that means.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. Like, I actually did appreciate that. I'm just laughing at like Nick's really bitter still. I could see the week off did not help him separate from the game. But yeah, Mr. Freeze is not done.
No, this is. I was interested too because before I got to this point, I was talking to a friend of mine and he said, oh yeah, the Freeze fight is. I don't know how to beat it. It's so hard. And I beat him relatively quickly because, again, my skill level was way ahead of this part of the mission. And at the end, you know, it just seemed like it was a satisfactory ending. Like, oh, like you should have killed me when you had the chance. Okay, cool. The end. But no, it's not done. We go to 1.5 now because apparently Mr. Freeze is just doing some dealings while he's at Blackgate. Yeah. And telling his regulators to still go on and do some missions. So we don't really know what's going on. So that's what we'd have to do in 1.5. We have to go after the regulators around the city and find out what Freeze is up to. And we find out they're trying to make him escape Blackgate. So relatively, I don't even know how many days have passed since then because we're on night schedules. Every time it says night 36, night 37, whatever it is, every time we go back to the Belfry. So I'm not entirely sure how long he was in Blackgate for, but we find out he's trying to escape.
That's another cool detail of the game because they are the Bat family. They are the defenders of the night. Is that Batman? Does Batman say that? No. But
I think so, yeah. No, I think that's
it. I think he does say it, right? Yeah. But like because it is nighttime, they only track through night. Nice little cool detail. I'm going through this episode with positivity, Nick. Don't look at me like that.
I didn't even say anything.
You glared.
No, I think you're trying to put me in this spot where I hate everything, but I'm not trying to.
But I feel like, why wouldn't they know that he's trying to escape? This is just like every Gotham villain goes to Blackgate, tries to escape.
Yes. But this was like Mr. Freeze is in pain at the moment. His suit doesn't even work properly. And he's already trying to maneuver his escape. Probably not a good idea.
Well, hopefully he's getting the care he needs. Like, I would think Blackgate would be like, okay, there's some basic needs you have to have if you're going to serve your sentence. So let's just make a whole new suit for you.
And that's when we have to head to Blackgate and try and stop Freeze. We have to do some tasks outside, defeat some enemies, also solve some mysteries and some clues in order to help us get through Blackgate and the next areas. Once we do, we get to the courtyard, and guess what? Mr. Freeze somehow got way more technology and a giant new suit, and this is the Mecha Freeze, which is like a giant spider.
It's so cool.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it reminds me of Ghost in the Shell, if you've ever watched that anime, but it is the coolest thing I've ever seen. He cannot do any wrong. My Mr. Freeze.
Did you ever watch Wild Wild West with Will Smith?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, the villain. I don't even know his name.
I don't think we need to know his name because the movie was so bad. But he had that giant mechanical spider, yes. Which that reminded me of that in this one. And here we are, 1.6. This is another boss fight, Cam. Mecha Freeze. This time around, the skill level is all the way up to what level you're at in the game. Let's say if you are doing this after you finish the main story. So this was hard. And let me tell you, not just hard, it was infuriating.
Yeah, it's you need to have something that sometimes I lack. It's called patience, because he is so slow. And you really can't go against his attacks. You have to kind of wait him out until you see an opportunity. Yes. And it takes forever. But I do like how they spaced out the difficulty. Like, they really are trying to say, no, you can't do all these missions just at the beginning. Mm-hmm. With this Mr. Freeze fight. You have to actually wait until you're a little bit more developed in the game.
So the mechanics of this fight, you have to go after the spider legs, I guess you would call them.
Yeah. The joints of the legs.
Yes, yeah. The joints. That does the most damage. However, they do heal up after time.
Which I didn't realize.
Oh, okay.
I did not realize that until, like, I was like, wait, didn't I just shoot that off? What just happened? And I was like, oh, they're healing.
Right. So there's like different tiers of this boss fight. And what's good about it too is that if you die and you passed one specific part of it, you'll go back to that point. Like, you don't have to go all the way to the beginning, which I enjoy. Yeah. Thank you, WB Montreal, for that. I appreciate it. But he has a lot more moves to deal with. And you have to basically swing up to, I think there's like, you can grapple up a couple times, and that kind of saves you from a lot of his mechanics. And then you can kind of aerial damage him on the way back. However, the most damage is those legs, and it doesn't do that much damage. So you literally have to fight this guy for a long time. And I think
long time.
I remember playing this at like 11 p.m. on one night, and I ended up, it took me till 12:30. My girlfriend had fallen asleep on the couch while I was trying to beat this guy. And I was so frustrated because it takes forever. However,
you died multiple times though.
Multiple times.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have a question, Cam, because near the end of the fight, so going after the legs, it goes from yellow to red, and then it kind of like malfunctions and you can attack Freeze for quite a bit, and then it kind of regenerates. Near the end of the fight, and I don't know if this was just because of the end of the fight or not, I actually removed one of its legs. Like, its legs just destroyed, and then I was able to like deal so much damage to Freeze right at the end of the fight. Was that only because of the end, or was that something that I missed throughout the fight that I could have done? Because I thought that those legs regenerated every time. Unless I'm just like losing it, and I didn't think that happened, but like...
No, it doesn't fall off in the fight, but you're right. At the end, like, if you batarang it or...
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do your, like, I think I was doing the melee, so I didn't really take notice to that. I was just happy that I was able to beat him, but you're right. I think it was just because of the end of the battle.
Okay, that's good to know.
You're good. You're good.
Well, once you finally and painstakingly defeat him.
This was meant to be my greatest creation.
You could have started over. Your life didn't have to be about revenge.
I would rather die knowing what I am than live in a lie.
That would be your
your cue to leave. The Bat Drone is on approach to pick you up.
Put me back in my cell if you must. There's nothing left for me here.
So, Cam, do you feel bad for Mr. Freeze? Judging by everything we talked about in the first segment and how much you loved Mr. Freeze and his endless, hopeless romanticism?
The last fight definitely was a rocky time in our relationship because I was really frustrated with everything that he was trying to do. However, I still feel for him. Even at the end, he's like, put me back in, you know, the cell if you want. He's not saying, oh, next time I'll get you, I'm going to kill you. He's not aggressive. He's just a passive aggressive, sometimes kills other people human villain.
That is totally off, but I'll allow it. That's fine. But that's it for the Mr. Freeze missions. It's interesting because I did get afraid because he said, put me in my cell if you must. I thought, oh my God. I can't deal with a third Mecha Supreme Mr. Freeze fight. No, so please.
Not again. He traumatized you.
So that's it for Mr. Freeze's side quest. After the break, we dive into Harley Quinn's side mission. Our second side villain mission of this episode, and it is now Harley Quinn. Now, if you didn't know or you don't remember, Harley Quinn shows up in the main story when you deal with her at Blackgate, and this is where you get the book to kind of figure out the Court of Owls stuff. And if you forgot about that, maybe turn back to episode 2 of Gotham Knights and our podcast to listen to see what exactly went on. But basically, Harley escaped from Blackgate when we were trying to help her. And that's where we start off in this mission storyline. We have to find out where Harley is hanging out because she disappeared and we don't know where she is. So guess what? That means we have to do some interrogations in Gotham and we have to interrogate the Freak faction. Once we do that, we get a link to a website and get to look up a video from a Dr. Q.
Who would even buy that crap?
She knows this stuff doesn't work. So what's her angle?
Most Gothamites will see her be involved in one or more violent crimes a month. You know, statistically speaking.
What's that got to do with anything?
She's selling them hope.
Oh, crap.
Come to the Monarch Theater tonight. I've got an explosive announcement just for you.
She definitely means explosive, literally.
I love the theatrical music hype up at the end. It's like, oh my God, she's going to blow up the Monarch Theater.
Yeah, it didn't align with, you know, Harley. Like, I thought they'd make it more like a Harley theme. Actually, that's one thing the game doesn't do. Like, they don't have a villain's theme. Like, you know, usually on the soundtrack, you'll hear, like, this is Harley's theme. This is Mr. Freeze's theme. So, like, these... the music is associated to that villain.
I don't think I can remember like the main themes of a lot of this game.
Oh, like, yeah.
Apart from the knights themselves. Like the knights themselves, sure.
Yeah.
And then like the music in between, you know, going back to the Belfry, I remember that. But
another thing we'll have to talk about
in our final review. Well, she says she's selling people weird supplements, I guess, which is great. And I mean, if you're a random, you know, let's say you live in Gotham and you're listening to what Harley's saying and she talks about it's going to be an explosive time. Like, you're not going to the theater, right?
I mean,
you're definitely not. I like this whole Dr. Q thing, though. It's almost like she's pretending that she's back to normal.
Yeah,
which clearly isn't the case. Yes.
Clearly not the case, but I do love that. Well, I mean, okay, no, I don't love. But if I were in Blackgate and, you know, there were someone pushing supplements, I'd be like, hey, well, you know, this is coming from a doctor. So she does have a good business model there.
You are so wrong, but that's okay. With that, it's off to the Monarch Theater, and you have to infiltrate the building, see where Harley is hiding, and realize that there might not be explosives anywhere where we're looking, at least. Yeah. We have to defeat some goons as well along the way, some freaks. A lot of the freak faction is there. From what we can gather so far in the Monarch Theater, she sounds like a cult leader, which is probably not a good thing, especially with her followers. Some bad things can happen there. But once we find our way through the entire Monarch, we find our way to the main stage and see what Harley's doing.
Don't worry. That's why I made this. This little thing will give you the courage to do what you always wanted to do. An implant that lets you take on the world.
This is too much. Do you really believe that Harley Quinn wants to help you?
I bet you want to see it in action.
So again, I bring up the question, are Gotham citizens really that dumb to follow her? She calls them her quinners.
Her quinners. I love this. She has branding. She could do public speaking about the product. She's rallying the people. Mm-hmm. She would make a, you know, like... Harley's actually very, very smart. It's just the craziness that steps in the way, but she could be a really good businesswoman.
Well, she's basically trying to sell drugs or implants, as she calls them, that can make you change into something.
Well, I was like, oh, yeah, there's supplements. And then I realized, oh, no, they're drugs, pretty much.
And she basically says, here are my goons. This is what we do when we put the implants in them. You know, you become stronger or crazy or whatever it is. So she's showing us what it does, which is probably not good. And then that means we have to fight everyone that took the implants, I guess, in the stage while the audience watches, bizarrely.
It's an arena fight where she's probably also making money off of entrance fee to watch this fight. Because like how it's all she's projected throughout the arena.
Yes. Yeah.
And just egging us on. I will say the hyena enemies. Mm-hmm. I like their design.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I like them too. Now, after we take them all out, we fall down a trap door that leads us to where the bombs actually are, Cam. So there actually were bombs. And we have to disarm them ourselves. The problem is they go off every 2 seconds. You have to keep deactivating them. They're like pinball machines or like arcade machines, what it looks like. And they go off every 2 seconds. While you're fighting enemies, you also have to shut them off in 30 seconds. You have 30 seconds, which is pretty easy, but it's just annoying that you have to keep having to go back and forth and back and forth.
It's similar to like the door breach missions that we've had in the core game, where it's like you have to stop people, or like the computer, like with Lucius, you have to stop people from destroying the computer or from breaching a door.
Afterwards, Harley basically gives out free implants to everyone who was there, because that's probably a good idea. And she leaves us one last message on some TVs for us and tells us that she has one last surprise for us. So it's on to 1.3. Nothing like an adventurous thrill ride of targeting legitimate businesses.
Bring them down. Bring them down for the people.
So that's what we have to do with this mission. So we can help try and stop her from preying on innocent citizens of Gotham. We have to ransack those businesses and shut them down. I think there's 3 of them that we have to. It's the same kind of thing. Defeat her goons, the freak faction around the city who are in control of these legitimate, in quotations, businesses. Yeah. And once we do that, we know what Harley's next move is.
Oh, this is not good. There are riots, like, all over Gotham. Well, Dr. Q invites all of her quinners to a wellness party. Wonderful.
Throw up the bat signal or something. That'd flush her out.
It's Montoya.
I don't know what to tell you, Crispin.
office. She's a soccer mom. Just get her in cuffs, man.
Hey.
Give me a sec. Nightwing, we got something weird down here. We set up some blockades, but who knows how long those will last.
Montoya, Harley's instigating these riots. Hold your line. We're coming to you.
How many of you bats are on this call? You know what? It doesn't matter. Just hurry.
Well, we have a target. Let's knock some heads.
So Harley has incited riots through Gotham, and after doing some investigating, you find out that Harley is holding up shop in the hospital, so that's where we need to go after her. The Quinners are rioting all over, and I love how it's a wellness party that she's throwing as well. This just seems very 21st century.
It's a festival for all the Quinners where they could just like, it's pretty much like the purge for the Quinners right now. They're having a blast in the middle of the streets. I will say at the very top, I don't know for you, but for me, my character was just kind of like lurking behind Detective Montoya.
Yes.
It was very weird.
Did you have trouble?
They pulled
like
a Batman. They pulled a Batman.
Oh, wait, did they disappear too, I think?
No, well, not disappear, but like she was just like looking down the street at the rioters.
Yes.
And then like talking to Nightwing Nightwing. And then it's just like Batgirl just shows up and just is like watching her talk to all these people and then talks to her. And then she turns around and she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't remember that, but I mean, the Gotham Knights are creeps still anyway, so I get it.
That's
so
true.
First we have to find a security office within the hospital. That leads us to the cafeteria, and that's where we want to crash Harley's party. And that cues a boss fight here. Harley versus Batgirl / Nightwing / Jason Todd /
Robin.
Robin. I forgot. Yeah. I forgot about Robin.
We all forget about Robin.
Yes, I know. How did you find this fight, Cam? It was pretty fun.
It was.
I like the way that Harley's designed, and it's really cool with her like giant hammer that she's using.
I mean, Harley's designs really don't disappoint no matter where you see her. Mm-hmm. And I do like how they did this Harley. Like, she has kind of like that voice we're used to, but at the same time, like, it's her own. I actually don't know the voice actor that performed as Harley, but I just liked seeing this Harley on the screen. And it was fun. I do like her hammer. The goons are the flame goons or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Not the flame goons.
Yeah. Whatever they're on. I found it fairly easy. It was an easier battle. I feel like this is one you're supposed to do earlier on. There wasn't really much to it other than like her hammer attacks. When she gets her hammer like stuck in the ground or whatever, like because it takes her time to pick up the hammer, that's when you just lay all the blows in.
And then she also has, I think, electrical power as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole place is like
that stuns.
It's like there's electricity coming out from the whole room, right?
Right. Right. So there is maybe some issues with stunning. But again, like if you were comparing the Mecha Freeze fight to this fight or probably any other side mission fight, it's definitely a cakewalk in terms of that. Well, once you defeat her relatively easily.
The bats definitely would have figured out where I was faster. And he would have personally taken me back to Blackgate. Like a gentleman.
I'll let the complaints department know.
But I think you're getting the hang of taking criminals off the street and stuff.
Thanks.
I got dozens in holding and a triage nurse who hates me. I'm just gonna blame you, cool?
The commissioner will buy it.
Don't be a smartass. I'm gonna be dealing with this headache for weeks.
You've got it under control.
Oh yeah, I got a full desk of open cases that says, God damn it. You tell anyone about this clown girl, I'll gag you.
So, I just have to lay this point out here, which is it seems like Harley enjoyed being caught. I don't think Harley cares at this point in general. No.
I think she's just going through the motions. I feel like all the Gotham villains should be just going through the motions because how many times are they getting caught? And I think Harley just realizes that. So she just tries to have fun with it, which I mean, I appreciate that. She's just trying to have a little fun. bring destruction to Gotham. I don't know what that was, Nick, but okay.
I yawned, but made a noise while he did it. This is where we're going in this episode. But Joker is dead in this game. Mm-hmm. I think presumed.
Yes.
Dead.
Yeah.
So this is where it confuses me in terms of like the Arkham series and this series. And if it's a departure
thing. It's its own thing.
It is.
Yeah.
I know it is. But then it also has similar storylines still.
Yeah.
Which is also strange.
It's a multiverse madness.
Yes.
It's just an alternative time and place in the DC game universe that is fairly similar. Isn't that how it's supposed to work when there's like different universes and stuff? It's like so close to what you know, but a little bit off.
Different. Yeah, I think that's the
case. A little different.
Harley also just seems lost in terms of mm-hmm. what she does without Mr. J. So I think this really shows in these kind of missions.
Yeah, and I love how recently, like, we've been exploring things outside, like of the Joker mm-hmm. with Batman. And I do like this whole new perspective of Harley of kind of holding her own and being her own villain rather than just a sidekick.
I agree. I totally agree. But that's it for Harley. Leads us to our mm-hmm. final of the three and the quickest one, I would say, which is Clayface. And we start off with Montoya sending us an email that a weird guy is mugging people all over the city, but they don't have a face. So we clearly know that's probably Clayface. We have to find him. So we have to basically go around finding thugs to see if we see one thug with no face. Once we do, we beat him up. He runs away, but we get a clay mimic sample and take that back to the lab for some testing.
I don't understand. Clayface fell in a turbine when he last fought Batman. How is he still alive?
I'm not sure. He was torn to shreds.
And yet, here we are.
Guess getting blended like a smoothie wasn't enough for him.
So, what did we learn about our new friend?
Well, I've studied Clayface's DNA before, and this is unlike anything I've ever seen. The structure's constantly changing. It's like it can't reassemble itself.
We're talking damaged nucleotides, unstable phosphate groupings, and synthesis abnormalities. I mean, abnormal even for Clayface.
This sample seems especially disorganized, like it's trying to be five things at once.
Oh, maybe it's because these pieces of him on their own aren't enough for him to stabilize into a singular conscious entity.
You guys are doing your nerd thing again.
Sorry.
One thing I always hate is lines where they say, you're doing your nerd thing again. Are you being too nerdy? Okay, well, do you know how to decipher this, Dick?
It just means like you're not up to speed with all the science terms. Like, what was it? The neutralides or whatever. Barbara said, I was like, yep, I do love this little piece of humor. Like, he could still be in the water. I thought it was funny. Which would be gross. You're drinking and you just see a little face of Clayface.
Ugh.
Like
imagine.
He has no face, but a little piece of Clayface.
Or you drink water and then you... No, never mind. You go to the bathroom and then there's a little Clayface sample in the bathroom toilet.
Clayface sample. Oh my God.
So basically the turbine, I guess, messed up Clayface and him being able to like reattach or remorphosize when he faced off against Batman. Whenever time ago, and he can't properly assemble right now. So that's the main issue. And they want to make sure that he doesn't end up doing that because we don't want him to be smarter and more clever than right now. So that's where we find out that there's a disturbance at the Dixon docks. And that's where we try to find Basil or Basil. Is it Basil or Basil? Basil as a name, right? And then Basil is
Basil as the seasoning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Glad we got that cleared up.
Welcome to our TED Talk. Yeah.
So we find Clayface's footsteps at the dock and we have to follow him until we see a bunch of goons, one of them being Basil himself. We jump him. Clayface falls down the shore. And this is where we get a really cool part of the mission. I do really enjoy this Clayface mission because it's a little different where we have to follow him on our motorcycle. It's pretty cool, right?
It is. I do like that it forces you to use the bat cycle. And it's fun.
We didn't mention this too, but like the motorcycle side quests that we have to do to kind of do the time trials. Yeah. Those are fun.
Yeah. I love time trials.
Me too.
I wish there was more.
Except the glider ones. They can rot in hell. But the motorcycle ones were fun. Anyway, that leads us into his lair, I guess. He leads us right in there. And we get to confront him.
I should have killed you a long time ago, Basil. I won't make the same mistake again.
You're just making things up now. Your sorry ass fell into the turbine by accident. Batman was there to rescue your hostages, not kill you.
How would you know? You weren't there!
I saw the security tapes. You didn't have shit to do with it.
If Batman wants me to change the script, tell him to come down here himself. Let him come.
He can't. He's dead, Clayface.
But he was at the reservoir just a few days ago.
Oh, man. You really don't know. It's been almost a year.
I love this.
Yeah, it's really fun. I love how you like staged a whole reenactment of Batman kind of like, I guess, grilling him or attacking him or whatever it was, which is pretty funny. And then we basically tell him that that version of events never happened. We find out that it's been almost a year since Batman died. I thought it was only like a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, it has been a year earlier on in the game.
It said a year later.
Oh, now I'm double guessing myself. I'm sure it did. Maybe. Yeah. But this is a good reminder. Because I think it's easy to forget a sense of time because you're working in the night. Yes. I do like this whole story with Clayface, though. I feel like it just gives him more depth as a character than other villains that we've seen in this game. Because you see, he's so disoriented himself that he doesn't know what's what. And then there's this weird relationship with him and Batman. As you know, we know there is with a lot of the villains in Gotham, but it's like this admiration for him, but then like kind of like how Joker admires and like needs Batman in his life. We don't realize, this is a good reminder as well, that other villains do as well. Kind of similar how I mentioned how like Harley goes through the motions for these other villains like Clayface. These are the motions interacting with Batman. So it's kind of like, and it's weird. Why would you tell villains that Batman's dead? I guess he would know, like everyone, would everyone know at this point?
They were keeping it hush hush for a while. And I don't know why they've said it now. But again, like every villain seems sad by this. Do they all have like Stockholm syndrome with Batman? Are they in love with Batman?
And that kind of makes me think, if there was no Batman, is he like the glue that keeps the crime together? Like, if there was no Batman, would they just be like, ah, this is boring. I want to do something else. I want to go legit.
Maybe. It's possible, right? It's possible. Like the Penguin, maybe. Maybe this is kind of the same thing. So this is also where we face Clayface for the first time with one boss fight. He has three different variants that we have to fight. Also, I think he morphs into multiple ones as well. But how did you find this one? Again, relatively easy. The skill level at this point for me was well below my level.
Yeah.
So I was able to like knock him out pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's the only thing. This was very easy at this point that I just wish it was a little bit more difficult because I did enjoy the story of things.
Yeah.
And I do actually enjoy mostly, like, I just love how they do Clayface, how he like replicates himself and there's different versions and you have to kind of hit the right one. But I kind of wish it was a little bit more difficult.
While Clayface escapes, Basil is an actor, which I also find really funny. Through our clay samples back at the Belfry, we realize that Clayface is moving through the pipes and the water supply, like Cam mentioned before. And we can basically catch up to him. We realize we can track him through the water supply, and he is off to the reservoir to get all his pieces back together. So they're all floating back to the reservoir, but also apparently potentially flood Gotham, which probably isn't a good thing. So we have to go and investigate. So we end up going to the reservoir for a rumble, where is our second Clayface boss fight. There's a couple phases here, which is fun. First, we face him. I think we face him in a building, and then that turns into us falling down into the sewers, where we now have to use our motorcycle to run away from his mass amount of clay, which I think is also a super fun part of it.
It also the final looks gross. In the sewer, and then you have like this like grayish brown liquid just sludging everywhere.
Did you die at all in this race? Did the clay catch up to you? Because it caught up to me once.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, you're just a pro. In the final phase, we're in like a boiler room, and Clayface kind of starts to harden a bit because he gets hit in the fire, which I thought was cool as well.
Yes, yeah.
But of all these phases, like, what did you think, or what did you find? Because again, this seemed easier than the other fights, right?
It did. I do like how they made Clayface like really big with like all the arms and everything. Like we do see like Clayface is often more like his like blob form or like more of a human form. But I like how they made him like a monster kind of look for the last bit. And like his arm.
Yes, his arm.
When he like shoots out his arm and then it like goes like extends three times, and you're like, whoa, because the first time I was not expecting that.
Sometimes I think we should have a video podcast, because if you were to see my Discord camera, because we see each other to make sure that we're not overlapping, which we still end up doing quite a bit anyway.
We still did.
But
doing, yeah.
Cam is basically reenacting how Clayface looks on screen and is.
Yeah.
It's pretty hilarious. So sometimes I wish we did have a video version where people could see that.
I'm a very animated person.
So how did you find the ending of Basil here? I felt bad for him. Because again, I just don't think these villains, in these side missions at least, like they're not doing that. Like, I guess Mr. Freeze was the worst, where he was trying to control the weather.
Yeah.
But Basil, you know, we kind of hear that he might be flooding the city, but it just seemed like he was just trying to get himself back together. He didn't seem that crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, he's still a living and breathing thing. Mm-hmm. We just stopped that. We're like, nah, never going to happen again.
Well, RIP Basil, I think. Well, not RIP. You're still alive, but you're just a bunch of crusty soil at this point.
Crusty pieces.
But that is where we end off our three villain stories. Not a lot of high stakes in these, but I think it was a fun adventure. After the break, we discuss which ones were our favorite and maybe which ones needed a little bit more help on autosave. All right, Cam, overall thoughts on these three missions in general. Go ahead.
I mean, they do a really good job at exploring side characters that I found are very interesting. I actually would have wanted to see these characters like integrated more in the main game, just because I do find them a bit more interesting. And I don't know if that has to do with the fact that I'm used to them rather than the court and League of Assassins. So I love that part. I think through us talking, though, we definitely know, or I know which one's my favorite. It has to be the Mr. Freeze fight for its difficulty and for Mr. Freeze.
You're being sarcastic, right?
No, I really do think that's my favorite one.
Oh, is it?
It's the most difficult. Well, okay, actually, I'm thinking boss battles. It's the most difficult boss battle, even though it's very, very long.
Yeah.
It was able to like get the frustrations out in me, whereas the others, I do feel like they're more a walk in the park. However, Clayface's story is very interesting.
I like how you mentioned this in terms of, I wish they integrated these stories more into the main missions, because the Arkham games do a really great job of that.
Yes.
Where even though there's a lot of side missions in those games, but they always feel like they're still a part of the main story. These ones felt very separated and removed from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think, which is the only thing. I think they could have, like, again, we saw Harley and her story at the beginning of the game in the main missions. I think they could have incorporated something similar to that, which I wish they did. I didn't understand the motives of a lot of these stories. I got Mr. Freeze's the most. I think he had the most painful story in terms of like his heart, I guess, or his heartfelt story. But I didn't really understand the motivations for Harley and what she was doing. Kind of seemed pointless. And then with Basil as well, I guess that made more sense because he was just trying to bring himself back together.
Yeah.
But I guess Harley's the one that really didn't make sense to me in terms of why she was doing what she was doing.
Well, whatever Harley does, it will never make sense to us because she's on a whole nother level of crazy. But yeah, I think we're kind of aligned there. I will say, even though it was separated from the game, which I kind of understand why they did it, because even though I would want them to be tied in more, I just don't know how that would work and if it would take away from the League of Assassins and the Court of Owls kind of storyline.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know how they would integrate it. It's so outside. Like, none of these villains that we face in these side missions are rich or work with the League. So I don't know how they would integrate that in, although I would love to. But I do appreciate how they took the time to build out. They're pretty, not lengthy missions, but they have multiple aspects to the mission. It's not just going into Blackgate and like that's it. Like you have a whole part, different parts to these missions that I do appreciate that.
Yeah, there are. It's all different. It feels different, at least. It doesn't feel like you're doing the same slog over and over, which I think makes it better in terms of price range, I guess. I felt like with these added missions made me feel a lot more accomplished than if I had just played the main story. Like companioning with these side stories, I felt a little bit better on the overall game as a whole. So that was a positive note.
For sure. For sure.
Would you have done without any of them, or would you like to have added? Like, I feel like with Penguin, we talked to him after the main missions and he's like, can you help me out? And it's kind of these stories where you have to kind of like get things for him. But I feel like there could have been a cool extra story with the Penguin as well that I think they could have added. What do you think?
Yeah, they could have, because even like they had Harley at the very beginning, like for you to get the book with all the evidence that Batman asked her to gather.
Yeah.
There's definitely a way I feel like they could have integrated Penguin. I would have loved to see, what's the name of his club again?
The Iceberg Lounge.
The Iceberg Lounge. I would have loved to go in there again and have a little brawl.
Yeah, maybe explore more of it other than the two, you know, we just see basically one level of it. We saw more of the Iceberg Lounge, yeah.
So I think that's a great way. Is there a villain that you wanted to see in the game that was not, that you think would be a great side mission?
It's just hard because if you look at the Arkham games, they have like almost every villain in one way or another, even if it's a cameo, right? Where it's like the Calendar Man is in jail or
but then
Zazz,
for
like
this
that.
One particularly, like I feel like Two-Face being who he is would have fit really well in with the whole arc of the Owls.
That's a great point.
So like Two-Face, I think would have been a good side mission or integrated into the core mission.
He's a character that they didn't really use in many of the games that much.
No.
He was very to the side. I think he was in Arkham City, but like just very sparsely.
Yeah. So it would
have been nice to develop his character. But that's it for me. Anything else that you could think of off the top of your head?
Back to your first question of the episode, I do feel like the other villain I could, or maybe more sympathize with other than Mr. Freeze, would be Solomon Grundy. If you consider him a villain. He's not really a villain.
Well,
but
yeah.
He is, but he's not.
What's his purpose, though?
He doesn't have a purpose, really.
So he doesn't have like a redeeming quality?
I think I just feel sad because he's kind of like a zombie.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess like I understand that part. And he's ugly. Poor guy.
Yeah.
But would you rather be Clayface or Solomon Grundy? I'd rather be Clayface because then I have powers of like moving around and stuff.
That's true. That's true. All right. I'm back to Mr. Freeze. Quickly thought of another villain, but I'm back to Mr. Freeze. I love him.
Cam's love affair for Mr. Freeze will continue. But that's it for us. an amazing walkthrough through Gotham Knights. I had a lot of fun talking about it, and maybe sometimes we had some frustrations. That's nice to vent and get out there into the world, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't just bottle it up. You need to just let
you
loose.
You can't bottle it up. No. You gotta let loose, talk to people about it, and then you feel better.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe Nick needs more than a week away from the game, but, you know, you'll feel better eventually.
I do. I do. I already feel better. It's been very therapeutic, so I appreciate it. But until then, in our next game, we're really excited for, we will see you next time on Autosave.
Autosave.